It's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to Wednesday's 9 till noon show. It is the 5th of February 2025. How are you all doing out there? I hope you're keeping very well indeed. And hopefully we'll keep you informed and entertained over the next 3 hours. We've got loads coming up on the show. Speed limits. The speed limits change on Friday. I've got so many questions about this whole process. We're going to get answers for you today. We have the Roads Department of Donegal County Council, who in fairness have been flat out over the last week or so, rebuilding, I suppose you could say, from Storm A1. We're going to be speaking to Brian a little later on to get answers to your questions. If you have any questions about the changing speed limits, please get in touch with us now, 086 60 25000. Staying on the roads, by the way, if you are travelling to work or school or to an appointment, the Milford to Kilmacrenan road is closed now due to a road traffic collision. I'm not sure the extent of that collision. We will, of course, keep you up to date on this programme and on news bulletins. But just for those of you travelling at the moment, the Milford to Kilmacrenan road is closed due to a road traffic collision. More info on that just as soon as we get it right. As I say, plenty coming up on the show today. We want you involved in every which way. I'm going to start off with plugging watching the show, by the way. It might suit you. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you work from home. Maybe you're work in the home. And you've got a smart TV. If you've got a TV in the last few years, it's going to have the YouTube app on it. Many of you have Fire Sticks as well, of course. We're on the YouTube app, so you can watch us in the corner of your front room or up on the wall above the fireplace. Just open the YouTube app, type in Highland Radio Ireland, and we're there for you as a television show, I suppose you could say. You can also watch us on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituaries on the X platform, and by clicking Watch Live on our website. Now, also, too, we want you involved in the conversation, 086 60 25000. I mentioned that number. That's for text and WhatsApp, but give us a call on 074 91 25000, or if you want, email comments at highlandradio.com. If you're a podcast devotee, you listen that way, make sure to email if you wish, or WhatsApp. And also that applies to you if you're listening overnight, as many of you do, and we appreciate and love all of you. Right, let's have a look at the newspapers. I'll start with the local this morning, the Finn Valley Voice. Ireland's most successful sprinter and a two-time world champion says his greatest strength wasn't that he ran 400 metres. His greatest strength was that I showed an element of vulnerability. Mental health is a priority for Olympian David Gillick, special guest at the 2024 Sports Star Awards in the Mount Ergel Hotel on Friday night. Now, bad news for our ESB bills, potentially. I think someone texted into the show saying that we're going to pay the price of Storm Awin. And I'm not sure if I discredited it or I said they're rich enough that they should be able to absorb it. I'm not quite sure of my reaction, but I perhaps didn't give the text the weight it deserved, because it is coming to pass. The Daily Mail tells us that electricity prices may need to be increased as a result of the devastating Storm A1 that ESB has warned. ESB Chief Paddy Hayes said the severe weather event will most likely have knock-on effects for customers' pockets next year. The news comes as more than 25,000 customers remained without power yesterday, 11 days after the storm on January 24th, hundreds of them in Donegal. Over 1,600 payments have already been made under the government's humanitarian assistance scheme. The average payment per claim is currently running at just under €200. Well, Mr. Hayes said that the full assessment of costs for customers will be looked at next year. It's likely that those charges, which are allowed there, will find their way back into the overall cost of our distribution network. There is a cost associated by this that will be borne across the electricity network as a whole. So already we're paying some of the highest electricity rates in this country. A third of our power is green a lot of the time, and a lot of people don't really seem to feel the benefits of that. There's an awful lot of pressure on businesses with their ESB bills as well, and it looks like we could end up picking up the bill. Is that right? Is that fair? Let me know. 086 60 25000. All the papers carry a very sad and tragic story, and I just wonder if it kind of holds a mirror up to society, the way we live our lives now, the way we're kind of siloed sometimes, the way we maybe don't check on each other as much as we used to. Maybe that sort of sense of community right across the country, we're losing that in pockets, and I'm sure there are places and people listening that would say, well, that's not the way it is in our area, but we're seeing more and more cases where people tragically die and they go undiscovered for a very long time. And I just can't imagine it happening 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. But I know some of you listening are old enough to remember, and perhaps you can correct me where I'm wrong. But the Irish Times is the paper I'm reading from. Gardaí expect post-mortems examinations today will confirm that a man and woman found in their home in County Kerry yesterday died from carbon monoxide poisoning in an apparent double suicide. The bodies of the couple, named locally as David, 52, and Hazel Byrne, 51, were found by members of the Kerry County Fire Service when they entered the couple's bungalow home at Mountain Stage outside Glen Bay on the Ring of Kerry. Locals had gone to check on the couple and found a notice on the door warning people not to enter because of carbon monoxide, and they immediately raised the alarm. Gardaí requested the assistance of a Kerry County Fire Service. Firefighters wearing breathing apparatus entered the house and found the bodies of the couple in a bedroom. Once the house was vented and made safe, Gardaí preserved the scene and requested the services of a state pathologist. It's understood that their bodies may have laid there undiscovered for up to 6 months. As I say, I just wonder if that kind of holds a mirror up to us. On to a story that's not based in Ireland, but it's one I know many of you are following quite closely. And this is the story of Lucy Letby. Now, she has been absolutely hammered in the court of public opinion, and some would say quite rightly so, because she received 15 whole life orders for the murder of 7 infants and the attempted murder of 7 others. Now, this is the most horrific of crimes, isn't it? Young, innocent babies, the person that is charged with caring for them, potentially ending their lives. I've watched a couple of shows on this, a drama and a documentary, and the way it was presented, absolutely horrendous. But there seems to be a growing movement suggesting that maybe this person is not guilty. And I read from the Irish Independent, a convicted child serial killer, Lucy Letby, did not murder 7 babies at a hospital neonatal unit. A panel of medical experts has claimed in a report that found each infant had died from natural causes and poor medical care. Dr. Xu Li, who assembled a panel of 14 experts, including world-leading neonatologists, in a review of medical evidence in the case, concluded, "We did not find any murders," as her legal team submitted their findings to the Criminal Case Review Commission. The former nurse, who's 35, is serving 15 whole life orders for the murder of 7 infants and the attempted murder of 7 others between June 2015 and June 2016 at the Countess of Chester Hospital, but has continued to protest her innocence. Now, there's never, ever going to be any winners in this case whatsoever. But just imagine if she were found to be innocent, however that might happen, and those children did die of natural causes or through medical negligence. Look at all of those families that would be impacted. Maybe they have come to terms with the fact that this person did take the lives of their babies, and the fact that she's in prison maybe was some sort of a way that they could sort of move forward with their lives. But if that rug is pulled from under them, I'm just thinking on them and how they might feel. It's very, very complicated. But that being said, Dr. Xu Li did give evidence, I believe, in Lucy Letby's favour, and it was he that assembled this panel. So I don't know if people would question its independence, but be that as it may, it's a story that runs and runs, and I know many of you do follow that. Interested in your views as well, Donald Trump has come out with really quite a remarkable statement. He wants to clear out Gaza effectively. He wants to ethnically cleanse that area, which is all you could really describe it as. He says, and he was sitting beside Benjamin Netanyahu when he said this, and it was quite interesting. He's calling him BB, and he pushed his chair in behind Mr. Netanyahu. It's astonishing the power that this man wields. But anyway, he suggested, sitting beside Netanyahu, that this place was just a building site now. It had been levelled, it's rubble, there's nothing to go back to, sitting beside the person responsible for doing this. And he's actually suggesting that there's nothing to go back to. He wants Gazans, Palestinians, to be moved out en masse, completely cleared of Gaza, resettled in neighbouring countries, and then to go in effectively and take over Gaza. and turn it into the Riviera of the Middle East, effectively, because there's, you know, massive beachfront potential and all that kind of stuff. No word of if Gazaans would have any, I believe that's the collective term, no consideration of what they might want in this situation, no suggestion that they may ever be able to return. This is a group of individuals. Their ancestors have already been shifted out for the creation of Israel in the 40s, the 1940s, that is. And here we are in modern day, talk of the same thing again. I'll read the story and invite your comments. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has met Donald Trump at the White House, where Donald Trump suggested relocating every Palestinian into another country. "I don't think people should go back," Trump said. "You can't live in Gaza right now. I think we need another location. I think it should be a location that's going to make people happy." Trump has previously called on Egypt and Jordan to resettle Gazans. Both countries have flatly rejected such proposals. "We look over the decades. It's all death in Gaza," Trump said. "This has been happening for years. It's all death. If we can get a beautiful area to resettle people permanently in nice homes where they can be happy and not be shot and not be killed and not be knifed to death like what's happening in Gaza," sitting beside Benjamin Netanyahu. He didn't reject the idea, said it was an idea worth considering. But really quite remarkable times we live in. As I mentioned, road users have been urged to prepare for Ireland's updated speed limit changes. Officials say these changes aim to reduce road deaths and serious injuries by 50% by the end of the decade. Key updates outlined in the Road Safety Strategy 20 that runs to 2030 include the reduction of default speed limits on local and rural roads. Some of that kicks in on Friday. Local roads will see a reduction from 80 kilometres an hour to 60 kilometres per hour. Brian Cannon from Donegal County Council is going to be joining us in less than 5 minutes just to run through that for us, so we're absolutely clear on it. The one thing I would say, and this is not a fault of Brian or the teams, the lack of information has been unbelievable in relation to this. You know, a massive change really in everyday lives. Maybe I'm overstating it. I don't think I am. And there's been very, very little public information in relation to it. Very finally, if you're a soap fan or not a soap fan, this is either good news or bad news, dependent on which category you fall on, and there'll be mixtures of views within that, because Coronation Street and Emmerdale are having major shakeups, including less time on your screens. Both programmes are changing to 5 half-hour instalments per week, all from Monday to Friday. It means the combined weekly output for ITV soaps will fall from 6 hours to 5. Corrie currently airs for 3 hour-long episodes a week, while Emmerdale has 4 30-minute instalments and one of an hour. ITV believe that people are struggling to stay focused for the hour, and also it interferes with other programming as well. So it's going to be half hour for each 5 days a week. That's what we're being told. All right, that was a run through some of the stories in the papers today. We'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after this short break. Brian Cannon, Director of Roads Transportation with Donegal County Council. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Greg.
I want you to treat me now like I'm a 10-year-old when we're going through this, right? Because I've tried to get my head around this, and I'm really conscious of putting out wrong information or confusing information. So it's really good that we've an opportunity to speak to you and clarify the whole situation. We're going to be talking about speed limits. Before we do, busy since Storm A1, all of your crews out and about. Obviously, there's the initial work that needs to go on, Brian, and then, you know, ongoing stuff as well. It's been a busy time, I'm sure, for you and your crews.
Yeah, it's been a very busy time for staff and roads, but staff right across the council, Greg, in the response to Storm Éowyn. It was historic, really, and the impacts that it's had right across the country and the county. And but also, I think one thing was the public response. Also, the public in many areas also assisted in others within their community that perhaps maybe were without electricity or water, etc. So it did bring a lot of people together, and hopefully we'll not have to face into another one for a while.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Right. Now, from Friday, we're seeing changes to speed limits. There's going to be 3 phases. We'll start with what's happening on Friday. So, rural local roads.
Yeah. So from Friday, the default speed limit in rural areas on local roads will change from 80 kilometres down to 60 kilometres per hour. And that's on all rural local roads in the county, with the exception of four, because each local authority was able to bring in bylaws where it felt that due to the alignment of the road, the width of the road, etc., that the local road could stay at the higher 80 kilometre an hour speed.
All right, before you give us those then, so this doesn't apply to every signpost that's got 80 kilometres on it.
No.
This is just on Friday, the rural local roads.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so like a lot of roads, a lot of what we would consider our main roads within the county are regional roads. Mm-hmm. That's the class, they're a regional road. And they currently have an 80 kilometre hour speed limit. So those roads are not changing. So an example of those regional roads would be the back of Errigal Road, would be the road from Letterkenny to Remelton and on to Milford and out to Rathmullen. Other regional roads would be the road from Frosses through to Killarain or Glenties. So those regional roads are not changing.
And someone messaged in when we were talking about this, and they says, so that means that virtually the whole road network in Inishowen is going to be 60 kilometres per hour.
No, they're not changing. And in fact, there are actually some of sections, the section of the rural, of the regional road from Muff past Quigley's Point is actually a slightly higher speed. It's judged to be 100 kilometre hour speed. So it's not changing. So if you think of Inishowen, you go from Bridge End into Buncrana, that speed limit is not changing on that road. The road from Muff through Quigley's Point onto Mobile and Greencastle is not changing as a result of this. The road from Quigley's Point through Glen Tohar into Cairndonagh is a regional road. It's not changing. It's the roads that come off that road are changing.
Right. So you talked about some exemptions to this. Four have been identified.
Yes. Yeah. So the four sections of local road that are staying at 80 kilometres an hour is the Ardahi to Ardra Road down in South Donegal, the old Sligo to Donegal Town Road between Lahey and Ballantra is staying at 80. The Racecourse Road from Muff to the border with Derry, and the Windhill Road, which goes from Bridge End over to the Burnfoot to Muff Road, so from the 19th hole over to the Burnfoot to Muff Road, they're all staying at 80. So that's a very small amount of roads when you consider all of our local roads. The rest of the local roads are all going to 60.
So I see Loch Salt in my notes here. Is that a local road?
Yes.
So that's going down to 60?
Correct. That's right. Yeah.
And then say, for instance, just stay with that road as it meets the road. Where would that meet? As it meets the road sort of into Carrigart and then on to Downings. Is that going down to 60, or are they now we're on to regional road?
Regional road, so from Creechla across through to Carrigart and back into Milford is a regional road. So it's staying at 80 under the boat. Now, Greg, it may sound confusing, but there's going to be loads of signs in the
road.
Of
course. Do you know what the only confusion here is us determining, you know this like the back of your hand, what a rural road and a regional road is. But I think you've explained it quite clearly there. A regional road would be the, in rural areas, the arteries effectively. And then often, but not exclusively, the local roads are what branches off from that.
Yes, but also, you know, as I said, we'll have loads of reminders. There's going to be, so where you branch off your regional road that still stays at 80 and you turn down your local road, you're going to have a sign that says 60 in front of you. Or if it's one of these local roads that's 3 or 4 metres wide with a bit of grass up the middle, and we do have some of those, it'll be a rural speed limit sign. Mm. It'll not be a number. So it's a white circle with five black diagonal lines. That signifies the default speed limit is 60.
Yeah. I don't think it's about people... I think at this point, a lot of the conversation we've had, Brian, or what a lot of the message we've had is how people will feel it will impact on them. In other words, will it slow traffic outside their house? They think that's great. Will it take them an extra 4 hours to get to work? That's bad. So, you know, I know there'll be lots of great signage, and that's already begun. We've seen the signs out there already. And a lot of modern cars, too, they have the sign reading software or the cameras, so they'll know that themselves. I think people are trying to figure out what this might mean to them. But I think we've been pretty clear what Friday is. So then the next stage is what?
So the next stage will then be our urban centres, our towns and villages. That is a process where there'll be consultation on later this year. So the public will be invited to get involved. So that may involve some speed limits within our town and village cores going down to 30 kilometres an hour. So in our town centres or our village centres potentially going down to 30 kilometres an hour. But there's guidelines there, and our teams are working through each of the towns and villages coming up with proposals. They will be discussed with their elected members. Then they'll be released for public consultation. So the public will get a chance to comment on all of those. And then those comments will be considered before there's any changes to be made, and then there'll be a further campaign.
Would you anticipate, without sort of, you know, trying to predetermine the public feedback, would you anticipate the council seeking many exceptions to that, if that's the phraseology? Like, say, for instance, Duncan Ely, you know, that's on a, it's kind of a relatively long town, but it is sort of straddling, you know, an important road. Would you anticipate, you know, as an example, people go, well, it would be a bit of an imposition to bring that down to 30, or maybe the people of Duncan Ely would say, listen, bring us down to 30 because we're sick and tired of the traffic flying through.
Yeah, well, I suppose without highlighting any town or village in particular, Greg, I could see examples where you will have what we've determined main roads through towns and villages coming down to 30 kilometres an hour. But we have to remember, we have to, for probably too long, our towns and villages have been dominated by the car and by the vehicle. And, you know, in reality, we want, with active travel and people out walking, we want to encourage our kids to walk to school. We want to make the places safer. We need to improve safety. And one of those is reducing the speed limit in those towns and village cores down to 30 kilometres an hour. That has happened right across Europe. And there are quite positive benefits. And when you think of the time lost travelling a relatively short distance at 20 kilometres an hour lower, it's really immaterial in your journey.
A caller says, hi, Greg. If there's no chance getting caught speeding, then this is a waste of time. We really need guards, cars to start driving around rural roads and even talk to the locals in those areas. Look, that's a policing matter, and it's not for me or Brian for that matter, but I presume this is about changing a mindset, right? It's not always about shooting fish in the barrel, but if, you know, whether it's this generation or future generations, that we accept that the speed limits are lower. Do you know what I mean? There'll always be a level of compliance. There'll be those that will ignore the speed limits, but I think this is, in the first instance, talking to those who might comply. But it's yet to be seen. Right, so urban areas and estates down to 30. That is later this year. Now, national secondary roads. This is another sort of area of confusion, because there are some, you know, brilliant national secondary roads that you would expect to stay at 100. There are others that you would welcome the reduction to 80. Has the consultation on that started yet, Brian?
No, and that'll probably be a third phase, Greg. And in the county, we have one national secondary road that basically forms a ring of our county. So that's the N56, which goes from Mountaintop right out through Freeshla, Dunfanaghy, Eddore, and Clonmacnoise, down through Glenties, Ardagh, Killybegs, and back into Donegal town. So that'll be subject to a future, probably the third phase of the speed limit changes, potentially taking this current default from 100 down to 80. But that's yet to be determined, and that'll be there may well be sections that, as you say, have been improved that'll be viewed differently to other sections, but that's further down the road. So we'll concentrate on on these changes.
But that'll be a biggie. That'll be a big because people. That I think that's the area where people will want for us to get this right. Also, I've got no impact in it whatsoever. Where, you know, it's quite obvious that 80 would be a better speed limit, but people, especially getting to and from work, and the fact that we live in a rural country, would not like to see the speed. Would you anticipate that we might see the retention of 100 kilometres, you know, on some of the obvious routes, like I'm thinking, you know, Ballybuffet to Donegal Town, for an example, or the N56 extends, doesn't it, from Donegal Town to Bundoran?
No.
What's
no,
that road? That's the N. That's the N14, right? Okay, sorry, yes. N14. This is why we have you on.
So they're national primary routes, and at present there is no plans to change those speed limits.
Right, okay, this is getting really clear now. I know this might sound like I'm being silly, but I think this is working for all of us because I've had so many conversations. Our national secondary road effectively is the N56. And that loops, as you've already outlined, north from Letterkenny and around Creasla and back down through Glenties and into Donegal Town. I think people might obviously now start seeing themselves, right, that's that road. We can see where 80 would make more sense and we would hope maybe in some areas 100 would be retained.
Yeah.
So the impact really here is not, I mean, hopefully it would have an impact in reducing death and serious injuries, but in terms of your day-to-day getting about, it's not massive changes for Donegal, is it?
No, we would like to think that there's not too many people doing more than 60 kilometres an hour anyway on a lot of our local roads. But one advantage that I see with it, Greg, is that every place where you have a local road or a group of local roads joining either a national road, or that's either a national primary or national secondary, or a regional road, there will be a repeater sign to signify what the speed limit is on the regional road. So there'll be an 80 sign in front. So that'll be a constant reminder for people travelling on the regional road network that 80 kilometres an hour is the speed limit, and that's the speed limit that they should be staying at. So and maybe that'll help reinforce the speed limits on the regional roads and on the national roads where you meet the national roads, there'll be 100 repeaters, so that'll help reinforce that. So it's to me, if you take it as the full package, there'll be more reminders out there about what the speed limit is on the road. And remember, the speed limit, it's not a target. It's you have to drive to the conditions of the road, but it just does help us condition us as to the right type of speed or the max.
Just
speed.
Some of the questions that are coming through, I'm not going to curate them because you know so much more about this than I do, Brian. What's the new speed limit from Convoy to Ballybuffet Road at Kilross going to be? So that would be a local road, wouldn't it?
Well, no.
No, sorry, that would be a...
That's a regional road.
A regional road, I beg your pardon.
So it's not changing. Convoy to Kilross is a regional road and then it's a national primary from Kilross into Stirling.
Right, just some of the comments I'll hold back. What about Letterkenny to Bridgend Main Road?
That's a national primary, so that stays at 100 kilometres
well. All right, okay. When you go on a local road, there is a circle sign with black lines through it, and it just says go slow. What are they about? Now, why don't they have 60 on them, I wonder, Brian?
It's you might recall back in the noughties, the speed limits changed on national roads, and therefore that meant the speed limits changed on all roads that weren't national roads. So where the national road met a local road, and this could have been a 3 meter wide road with grass growing up the middle, there was a sign in some cases put on that road that said 80 kilometers an hour. People are thinking, why is that sign there? So you couldn't even do 30 kilometres an hour. So the rural speed limit sign came in to be used in those circumstances. So that just defaulted to the rural speed limit. So that sign, whereas today that sign means 80 kilometres an hour, that sign from Friday means 60 kilometres an hour.
A caller says, am I correct in thinking that roads starting with an R will stay at 80?
Correct.
Yep.
Unless that, like Muff to Quigley's Point, which has a higher speed.
Yep. But... And a caller wants to know, can I view a map with the changes so I can get a better understanding of it? Has that been... Some of it, obviously, phase two and phase three, they haven't really even gone out to consultation yet. But in terms of phase, I mean, how would you do a map? Because there are so many roads that we're talking about here.
Yeah, well, as part of our consultation, Greg, and using our portal consult.donegal.ie, we had all of that information up online. It still is up online. So that's where the person could go and view a map. And one of the questions was in particular, what are our local roads? So we produced maps that showed all of the local roads in the county.
All right, well done. Brilliant. Okay. Brian, thanks so much. Is there anything that you need to clarify or add? Or
no, I suppose it's just road safety, Greg, and yourselves have been great supporters of different road safety campaigns. You know, we've had 15 fatalities on our roads in the country this year so far. We had 175 deaths nationally last year. You know, it's too many. And I think if we all just amend our driving behaviours, you know, we can see an improvement in general. So just keep plugging the road safety message.
Yeah, no, 100%, Brian. And listen, there's very few people sort of really against this. I think it's the lack of understanding of it, you know, and I think you've gone an awful long way there in clarifying an awful lot of the questions that were out there. So, Brian, for now, thanks very much indeed. Take care. Okay. Bye, bye, bye. That's really valuable. I would sort of pride myself. I would try to have a good handling of a lot of stuff, but I'll tell you, it's becoming an awful lot more clear for me now what we're talking about, and thanks to Brian for that. Before that, it was really difficult to get information. I found it difficult to get information. Like, I wasn't sure if the consultation had started on urban areas and estates or national secondary roads. The proposals in stage 2 and 3, urban areas and estates down to 30 kilometres per hour. That's probably going to happen later this year. National secondary roads, that's really just the N56. And it just shows my ignorance in that it took me a while for the penny to drop that the N14 is not one of the roads that we're talking about here, because I was using that as an example, and it just shows my ignorance in relation to this. But I wasn't being given information that made it clearer for me. So the N56, effectively the ring road around the county, that would be reduced to 80, but there is a provision to increase it or retain it at 100 where the road is deemed suitable. The N road, effectively the national road, is not to be affected. And a lot of the roads that you travel, the local roads, the rural roads, sorry, are staying as is. And then you've got the local roads that branch off where you're likely to see a reduction. Now, someone's talked about signage, a lack of signage. We're going to see much more signage, as Brian talked of there. Obviously, there are the new signs or the change signs, but I think he referred to them as repeater signs. I'll go through some of your comments. Can I view the map with the changes? Got an answer for you on that. There's a total lack of signage on our roads throughout the country, never mind the county. Signage is too small. They're about the size of your dinner plate. Honestly, believe it's about gathering more revenue. How do I say this without sounding insulting? In terms of the numbers as they're written on the sign, I don't think they're terribly small, and you would hope that if you're driving, you'd be able to read them. Driving at 60 kilometres per hour could cause more accidents, as many people may start looking into gardens and fields, etc. Hi, Greg. If there's no chance of getting caught speeding, then this is a waste of time. I read that a little earlier on. Are the new speed limit signs in place yet? Can we heed the signs? I've seen some of them. There are some 60s up where 80s used to exist. That works ongoing. You might not be seeing them because they're perhaps not going to, the speed limit's not changing on the roads you may have thought they are. I have just one question about the new speed limits. Who's going to police them? Not enough Garda on the roads, i.e. never see a Garda checkpoint speed checks in the Carndonagh area. Another, when you go on local roads, there's a circle sign with black lines through it and it just says go slow. We answered that one for you. Stupid bring down speed clocks on cars. Bring down speed clocks on cars. I presume they're saying limit the speeds on cars. Hi, Greg. I'm amazed at the lack of national media coverage over the speed limits. I feel that it shouldn't be coming in until proper signage is in place nationally. I never heard anything more ridiculous in my life. How are we expected to get information if we weren't listening to Highland? Is all signage going to be up by Friday? Well, this is, you know, we're not sort of like a tag on to national media here. We aim to be your local, your national, your regional and your international media. So we're going to keep you up to date with all that stuff. What RTE do or don't, or what Virgin do or don't do. is I'm only concerned about what we do, and we try and give you all the information you need, whether you're travelling all around the country or just around your own local area. What about Letterkenny to Bridgend Main Road? We answered that. These new speed limits may or may not cause more deaths, but they will almost certainly cause more collisions. Also, many cars will be in third gear all the time, as that's the way they are built. Rechanging the speed signs, virtue signalling by people who have too much time on their hands, believes a listener. All right, once again, thanks to Brian for all of that. We will be going to our next guest after we take a break. Stay where you are. So I mentioned in the papers, convicted child serial killer Lucy Letby did not murder seven babies at a hospital's neonatal unit. A panel of medical experts has claimed, and as I said, you know, quite a few people over here following that story as well. Wesley, good morning to you. Thanks for your time.
Good morning.
Right, so you've been reading this story as well. 14 leading experts had some claim demolished the case against her and says there was overwhelming evidence that this conviction is unsafe. Have you been following this story?
I haven't really been following the story, but it's what you said this morning on the radio. You were more or less saying that I'd a bit sore on the parents to learn now that she might be innocent.
Yeah.
You know, you were saying they got a panel of experts who would say that anyway.
Well,
but you didn't exactly say that. But,
yeah, no, I know what you're saying. What I was saying is what one of the fellow that assembled the panel did speak in her defence, and what I was saying, sorry, Wesley, if I wasn't clear, some will look on at that and say, you know, well, obviously he's going to, you know, he's going to gather a panel of people favourable to Lucy Letby, but that doesn't mean that they're lying or they're being untrue.
No, but that's what I said. But in fact, the way you said it, well, you more or less said that, well, you know, the parents have come to the thing now that the children's dead and the scarecrow's been guilty,
yeah,
and all that. I think she should have a fair hearing.
Mm.
There's lots of people miscarriage of justice done before.
Yeah.
And I think the only one who's going to fight for is her defence team. And I accept, you know, she could be guilty, but she's played innocent, and she's I would rot in hell before I would plead guilty to something that I didn't do.
Mm, same.
Just to get a shorter sentence.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, but I know what you're saying. Maybe at the end of the day, the parents might get comfort in knowing the truth. But do you understand the point I was trying to make, that this could just reopen everything again and just add to their pain and loss another trial? And if she was found guilty, because then obviously their anger would turn towards the hospitals.
Yes, I accept that. Yes, I do. But I think at the same time, I think she should fight every time she can.
Yeah.
To prove if she is innocent, to prove her innocence. You know, what's left for her now?
And as you say, we're all too familiar with miscarriages of justice, that at the time it seems like an open and shut case, but then it's clear that, you know, the fix was in, or a person or persons were wrongfully convicted.
Yes. Well, some of the things there in court, they were saying that one time she was in the ward office on her own, and then discovered then that she wasn't always on her own. And, you know, there were some doubts there as well back at the start. But no, I think sometimes some of the doctors, others said she was, oh, no, she's a grand girl.
Mm. But
that's a natural death. And then somebody else said, no, well, no, I think there's something else, which I think is right as well, you know, that they should be looking at it.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be covering up things that happens in the hospital just to keep them safe themselves. I've seen that before in the past.
Well, you see, that could be it. She could be the fall guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we'll see. We'll watch on with interest.
I just wanted to make that.
No, I do appreciate it, Wesley. It's great to hear your point of view. It's not a perfect phone line, but I really appreciate you ringing in. Thanks so much for that. All right,
don't
Wesley, take
you.
Care of yourself. As Wesley says, he's not saying she's innocent, but, you know, the truth needs to be found. A caller says, as you discuss road safety today and speed limits, please highlight again the need for people to wear high-vis when walking, regardless of the time, day or night. So dangerous, people walking on roads with no high-vis. Also, it should be mandatory that any community venues being used for courses and classes for kids and adults may have adequate lighting in their car parks. Far too many dark or dimly lit car parks with kids being dropped off and cars coming and going. One thing I noticed, and it really does worry me is, and I see it every single day, and I see it every single day from different directions, is around about this time when young ones are on the side of the road waiting to get buses, they're in dark clothes, dark school bags, no high-vis whatsoever, and they'd be darting across the road or darting literally across the road, as I say, or stepping out of cars, and you can't see them. And often the parents are sitting facing traffic with the lights on, and you, that's blinding you. You can't see what's coming up except just to go incredibly slow. And that's fine, but not everyone's going to do that. That's one area I'd love to see a little bit more high-vis, even if they just take it off as soon as they get into the bus, if it's not cool. But if you're standing on the side of the road waiting for a school bus, especially as we move to the time where it's semi-dark, bright, depends on the cloud cover and all that kind of stuff, I'd just be really worried about it, because I see a young lad ran across in front of me there the other day, pitch black, and he was in pitch black clothes as well. And it might seem the safest thing in the world standing on the side of the road waiting on a bus, but often as the bus approaches, that's when they run across, and I'd just be really worried about that. Hi, Greg. Is it just me? Does anyone else think the road between Killygordon and Stranorlar, where the lorry went off the road a few weeks ago, is very, very dangerous? When two large vehicles meet, the whole verge is gone. Now it's another collision waiting to happen. Surely local councillors must pass this on the main road, or engineers be on that road as well. Whose idea was it to put new signs on every bridge on the R245 through Glenveagh National Park, a pristine wilderness now littered with road signs? The road is not even wide enough for two cars to pass, but it's 80 kilometres speed limit. Totally ridiculous and ugly urban signs in the national park. A caller says, wind turbines were hit by lightning near Ballyshannon yesterday. Is that why those homes still have no electricity? No, there's many homes across the country without electricity. And I was reading an interesting article about the waste from wind farms. All the blades wear down over time, and there's nothing really they can do with them successfully. All right, a quick break. Back with a final caller before 10. Anthony's with me. Anthony, sorry for holding you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right, you're out and about on the road. You're a van driver. What's your experience? What should we highlight?
Well, there's five or six manholes up along Donegal Street in Balbuffet, and they're none of them at all level with the road. The road probably was resurfaced or whatever and brought up or whatever, and the manholes are not level with the road or brought up to the surface.
And have you suffered any damage with them, or do you have the knowledge now to avoid them at this point? Not that you should have to, or?
No, I didn't really suffer any damage with them, but I busted two rims and two tyres on Chandran Brae on the 24th of November.
Right. And what was that down to?
The council... Well, the council was renovating the road or repairing the road or whatever, and they took the road over to the ditch. And the only way I could describe it was as like the sock of a horse drilled plow, a stone sticking out of the side of the ditch, and everybody was hitting it. I lost two rims and two tires, as well as 10 or 20 other people.
Wow. That was a one-off, though. That's cleared now, is it, Anthony? Would you suspect?
Well, that's as far as I hear. Since the council has been back on that road or whatever, and they have jackhammered the stone away or whatever the case may be, and I haven't been on that road since.
Would you claim for the rims and tires from the council? You can do, Anthony, if the circumstances.
I went to Lifford that Tuesday morning, and they said. That they're not giving out any claim forms no more. You have to claim off the council's insurance.
Right.
But I didn't claim for it yet. But every time I had a bump or a bang on the road, it reminds me of my two busted wheels and two busted tyres.
I'm not surprised. And in relation to the manholes on the road in Ballybuffet, that's an ongoing issue. It's been like that for some time. I think you make the point too. Is how are you supposed to keep your van or your vehicle, fit for the NCT with roads like that?
Well, you have to. Well, when you take your van for the NCT, it has to be roadworthy to pass for the NCT, and track road ends and one thing or another, and you have to have your tyres right and whatever else, and it's just an ongoing issue.
All right, okay. Yep. Listen, a lot of people agree with you. Thank you for that, Anthony. 086 60 25,000 if you do. Good morning, Dolores. Good morning, Kathy. Anne says, worst road for speeding and passing out is the road from Muff to Carndonagh. John's watching in London. Hi, John. Good to have you on board. Mary Joe Bonner says, good morning, Greg. Listening earlier about the ESB and having a laugh. Sure, it'll be fair for everyone in Ireland to accept this as the people of this country are so gullible. They need to change and stand up for themselves as they're being walked over by every organisation in the country. That being said, the ESB, water, phone, HSE fuels need to get with it, not like in the past anymore. All right, that's been a busy first hour. Lots and lots of comments on speeding and other issues, so stay tuned. We'll get to those as the show moves forward. Chris is in with business matters and news and that and so much more besides. But let's take a break because Donal Kavanagh is going to be with you very shortly with the latest news and obituary notices.